Hi, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Samach Hey. We left off on daf Kuf Samach Dalid at the bottom of the Amud, and we left off with a story yesterday that I'd like to pick up with just to discuss in greater detail for a few minutes. We left with a story yesterday about Rav Yehuda, about Rebbe, rather, who was looking at a shtar, and it was a shtar mekusher, and by a shtar mekusher they would date the shtar. We saw yesterday they would date the shtar in a different manner, but this shtar mekusher was dated, and the date was in one of the folds. Rebbe was looking at the shtar, didn't see the date, and so he said, well, this is a pasul shtar, there's no date here. And Reb Shimon Barebi, his son, said, no, look, it's in here. So he showed him it was in the fold. Rebbe looked at him disapprovingly, and Reb Shimon Barebi immediately turned and pointed his finger at Rabbi Yehuda Chaita and said, no, it wasn't me. It was Yehuda Chaita who drew up the shtar, so don't be upset at me. And then we saw another maisa where Rebbe was reading from a cloth that had Sefer Tillim on it, and the handwriting was especially beautiful. And Rebbe said, oh, what wonderful handwriting this is. And Rebbe said, again, pointing a finger at Rabbi Yehuda Chaita, he said, don't look at me, or don't give me the credit. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda Chaita wrote this Sefer Tillim. And Rebbe said, stop talking Lashon Hara. And the Gemara had said Bishlam over there in the case of the Mekusher, Rebbe was upset, and that's why he said it was Lashon Hara. But in the case of the Sefer Tehillim, where Rebbe was actually complimenting the handwriting, why was it Lashon Hara if Reb Shimon Barebi said that Yehuda Chaita wrote the Sefer Tehillim? And the Gemara had answered, well, because we say that really a person shouldn't speak even good things about his friend, because mitoch tavaso bali de raso, because in as much as you're speaking, or after you start speaking good about somebody, inevitably you're going to speak bad about somebody. So just before even we give an introduction to what we're going to cover today, the Mefarshim struggle with the meaning of this Gemara. If you're not allowed to speak bad about a person, and you're not allowed to speak good about a person, what exactly are you allowed to speak about any person? So what is this Gemara telling us? So there are various mahalchim here. So one mahalach is that what the Gemara is saying is that you shouldn't praise somebody in an over-the-board manner, because if you speak in a measured way about somebody, then the fact that you speak good about someone is not necessarily going to lead to you speaking badly about the person. But if you're heaping ridiculous amounts of praise and excessive praise on somebody, then your inclination or other people's inclination is going to be to temper that excessive praise with some bad statements about that person. So therefore, if you're stop speaking good about somebody, then it's fine. But if you're speaking good about somebody in such an elaborate way, that's not okay. Others say that you're allowed to speak good about somebody, but it depends who your audience is. If you're speaking good about somebody to someone who you know is a known enemy of the person that you're speaking about, then in that case, you shouldn't speak good about the person or bad about the person, because you know that you're speaking to an enemy of the subject. And if you're speaking to an enemy of the subject, even if you're going to say something good, the enemy is going to say something bad, or the enemy is going to think something bad. So those Mefarshim explain, well, in our Gemara, what's going on? Was Rebbe really an enemy of Yehuda Chaita, that he told Reb Shimon Barebi not to say good things about Yehuda Chaita? And the answer, yes, he wasn't his enemy in the traditional sense, but he was his adversary, because he knew already at this point that Yehuda Chaita had written that Shtar Mekusher that Rebbe thought wasn't appropriately drafted, and therefore Rebbe was considered to be his enemy, and he was warning Reb Shimon Barebi not to speak so glowingly about Yehuda Chaita, because Rebbe, who had this adversarial relationship a little bit with Yehuda Chaita, might come to speak poorly of him if Reb Shimon Barebi would speak with praise and praising Yehuda Chaita. And then finally, others explain that there's a difference. We see all over the Gemara that the Amoraim and the Tanoim used to praise their Talmidim for being so special and for being so bright and so accomplished in learning. And so they draw a distinction between speaking good about somebody in the area of Gashmias versus speaking good about somebody in the area of Ruchnias. And they say that in the area of Ruchnias, you're allowed to praise somebody. You're supposed to speak good about your Talmidim. However, in the area of Gashmias, you're not supposed to speak so good about somebody, because the fact that you're speaking good is going to cause you ultimately to speak ill about the person. And those Mefarshim have to explain that in that case, why would was Rebbe, why was Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe not able to speak good about Yehuda Chaita in terms of his handwriting? After all, he was writing a Sefer Tehillim. And so they answer, yeah, true, it was a Sefer Tehillim, but they weren't praising the Ruchnius of the Sefer Tehillim. They were praising his handwriting. His handwriting is Gashmius, and that's why he thought not to speak so approvingly of Yehuda Chaita, even in terms of his handwriting. That's just to finish up what we didn't have a chance to say yesterday. Today we're going to continue. The Gemara is going to introduce the series of three Averos that the Gemara postulates a person is never saved from. So we'll see a little bit about that. The connection is that one of those Averos is Lashon Hara, which ties to the story that we just discussed and with which we ended yesterday. And then we're going to, on Kuf Samach Hayamid Aleph, we're going to talk about the statement that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel made in the Mishnah of HaKol Kamina Gamadina, that we saw that there were places where you write a Shtar Mekusher, places where you write a Shtar Pashut, and Rashbag said, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, HaKol Kamina Gamadina. So the Gemara is going to delve into what exactly Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel meant. Doesn't everybody agree that HaKol Kamina Gamadina? So we'll see what's going on with that statement of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And then we're going to talk about what the Mishnah had concluded with, what the prior Mishnah had concluded with, that by a Mekusher, again, you need three Edim, by a Pashut, you need only two Edim, and the Mishnah had said that if you have two Edim by a Mekusher, or one Ed by a Pashut, then that Shtar is going to be Pasul. And so the Gemara is going to delve into a discussion of what exactly is this teaching us. Mimela, two Edim by a Mekusher, we need this Gemara to teach us that it's Pasul, because usually you need three Edim for a Mekusher. But one Ed for a Pashut, do I really need the Mishnah to teach me that one Ed is Pasul? The Torah says, or every time we have Edis, we know that you need to that you need to have Edus with two Edim. So what's the Chiddush that one Ed is Pasul? So we'll see over there. We're talking about where there's one Ed in the Shtar, and other Ed being Mitzaref Baal Peh with that Ed in the Shtar. So a couple of ideas as to what that case may be. So let's pick up again four lines up from the bottom. Kuf Samach Dalid Amud Beis, second to last word on the line. Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rav Shalosh Averos Ein Adam Nitzol Mehem B'chol Yom. There are three Averos that a person is not saved from each and every day. Hiror Avera, one is Hiror Avera, which is Arayos V'Iyun Tfila, and Iyun Tfila. There's a Machlokas Rashbam and Tosfos that actually appears elsewhere that Iyun Tfila is mentioned in Maseches Brachos, but the Rashbam says Iyun Tfila means that when you daven, you sit there waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to answer your tfilas, that you daven and instantaneously you expect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to answer you, so that's unhealthy, and that's unhealthy. Tosfa says that because you make yourself crazy wondering when your tefillah is going to be answered, or we don't know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to answer our tefillahs necessarily. Tosfa says, well, that can't be what Iyun Tefillah means, because halavai, everybody should be davening with such kavana that they're davening and then they're waiting and expecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to answer them. Ma'isim b'chol yom, that doesn't happen. So Tosfa says Iyun Tefillah is a lack of kavana in the tefillah. And that we understand is very difficult to maintain kavana, so it's very difficult. So that's the way Tosfa says Iyun Tefillah means that people are not being ma'ayin enough in the tefillah. They're not being ma'ayin enough and having enough kavana in the tefillah. That's the second Avera. The third Avera is v'lashon hara. And the third Avera is lashon hara. So lashon hara salka daitach. So can it mean that lashon hara is that everybody says lashon hara every day? So says the Gemara, Ella avak lashon hara. No, we're talking about avak lashon hara. That avak lashon hara means that you say, the Rashbam explains, that you say something that is somewhat vague, that could be taken in a complimentary way, and it could be taken in a derogatory way. So the example that the Rashbam gives, that the Gemara in Maseches Arachin gives, is you say, oh, there's always a fire in somebody's house. So you could mean that in a good way, that he's always being machnes orchim, because he always has a fire burning in his oven, he's always cooking for people. Or you could mean, oh, the guy's entertaining, the guy's a late, the guy's always he's a party animal, he's always throwing a party. That's called avak lashon hara. So just on this concept that a person says that no man is saved from these averos. So the question is, the obvious question is that certainly there are great tzaddikim who don't violate these averos every day, and how can you say that nobody is saved from these three averos? And the corollary question is, if it is true that nobody is saved from these three averos. So how could it be that Kadosh Baruch Hu made these averos if he knows that we're hardwired in our DNA that we're going to violate these three averos every day, even tzaddikim? How could it be that these are averos? So the Ian Yaakov explains what the Gemara means is that these three averos, the temptation for these three averos is so great that nobody is saved from these averos unless they invest an exceeding amount of effort in keeping himself or keeping themselves from performing these averos. So it doesn't mean that everybody performed these averos. What the Gemara means is everybody is tempted to perform these averos. Most people succumb to the temptation. Some people don't succumb to the temptation. The Marshal gives a very fascinating explanation. He says, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Ein Adam Nitzal Mehem. So Adam is what a regular person is called. We know that a Jewish person is called Adam, a Goyish person is not called Adam, because Jewish people have a higher status than non-Jewish people. But in terms of Adam, in terms of Jewish people, there are some people who are like Adam, they're really like human beings, and there are some people who reach such a high level that they're almost kaviyachol doma l'malach Hashem tzavakos, that they reach a higher level of spiritual existence. So says the Marsha, Adam is a contraction for the Aleph is Afer, the Dalet is Dumb, and the Mem is Marar, Bile. So this stands for Afer that a person comes from, and Dumb that runs through a person, and Bile which is in the liver of a person. So he says, Adam, because of the Afer of a person, because of a person's physical connection, he's not able to focus on his Tefillah, because Tefillah is purely spiritual. We're physical beings, that's why there's a disconnect. Dam, because of a person's dam, the blood, he has a bloodlust for arayos. And mara, because of the mara in a person, he speaks mar, he speaks bitterly of other people, lashon hara. So who's nichshol with these three averos? It's Adam. But if you have a person who has conquered these sort of physical attributes, these base attributes, and he elevates himself more to the status of really a malach, like tzaddikim are supposed to do, then those people, taka, are not subject to these three averos every day. Okay, so says the Gemara now, Viter, top line of Kuf Samachay, Amid Aleph, Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav, Rov Begezel, most people are Nechshad in Gezel, Miyat Barayos, a minority of people are Nechshad in Arayos, Vakol B'Lashon Hara, and everybody's Nechshad in Lashon Hara. So says the Gemara, Lashon Hara Salkadaitach, everybody, every single person says Lashon Hara, Ela Avak Lashon Hara. No, what we mean is everybody says Avak Lashon Hara, because it's so easy to say Avak Lashon Hara, as we saw, even if you say something that could be ambiguous about somebody, it still could be taken to be Lashon Hara or Avak Lashon Hara. Therefore, it's considered something that almost everybody is Nechshad in, that everybody is Nechshad in. Okay, so says the Gemara now Viter. So Rabbi Shim Gamliel Omar Kol Kaminag HaMedina. Rabbi Shim Gamliel had said that everything is in accordance with the Minag HaMedina. So Frek the Gemara, V'Tanakama, Lesley Minag HaMedina. The Tanakama doesn't hold of the concept of Minag HaMedina. Minag HaMedina is a universally held concept. Everybody holds from the concept of Minag HaMedina. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi Ba'asur Din Higi Pashat. In a place where the minig is to write a shtar pashut, v'yamrle avadli pashut, and the guy instructs the sofer, make me a shtar pashut, v'azal v'avadli makushar, and the sofer went and made a makushar instead of a shtar pashut, k'peda, the guy is makbid. Because the minig is a certain way, he told the sofer, do in accordance with the minig. The sofer went and flouted the instructions. Therefore, it's not going to be a kasher shtar, because he was makbid in conformity with the minig hamedina. The Rashbam explains, what does it mean that it's not a kasher shtar? It means that if it's a get isha, then you're not able to be megaresh with this get. You're not able to be megaresh your wife with this get, because it's considered to be a chisaron in the das habal. In order to write a get and give it to a woman, you need the das bailim. This das bailim was to make a get pasha, not a get mekusher. You went and made a get mekusher. You went against the instructions of the baal. Therefore, it's not considered to have the das bailim. A get without the das bailim is going to be a puzzle. Is going to be a puzzle. Is going to be a puzzle get. So says the Gemara now Vayter. So we saw that in a place where it's a minig to write Pashut, and you gave an instruction to write Pashut, but he wrote a Makushar, it's Kpeda. Vihigi Makushar, where the minig is to write a Makushar, Vyamar Le Avidli Makushar, and the Baal says, write me a get Makushar. Vyazal Avidle Pashut, and he went and wrote him a get Pashut. Kpeda. So that's also a Kpeda, because the minig is one way. You said, do in accordance with a minig. The guy did not in accordance with a minig. Again, he's Makbid. Keep Ligi Basra, then Higi Bapashut Umakushar. In a place where the minig is to make both a get Pashut and a get Makushar. Vyamarle Avidli Pashut. And he said to the Sofer, write me a get Pashut. The Azal Avidle Makushar. Now the Sofer went and wrote him a get Makushar instead. So marks of our Kpeda, so the Tanakama holds, well, the guy's Makbid. So true, the minig is in both. But you gave the sofer instructions, write me a get pashut. So when the sofer went and wrote you a get makusher, he was violating your express instructions, and therefore it's not going to be kosher. However, Umar Savar, and this is the shita of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, that mare makom hulo, that it's only a mare makom, that you were only giving a suggestion that you write a shtar pashut, but you don't mind if he writes a shtar makusher. So how does this prove that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says akol k'minig ha-medina? Because remember, it explains the Rashbam, the minig ha-medina was that they write both a shtar pashut and a shtar makusher. So even though you gave the sofer instructions to write a shtar pashut, it was lav dafka, and you would have been satisfied so long as the sofer does anything that's in accordance with minig ha-medina, meaning even a shtar makusher. The Rashbam then says that the Ritva explains that this is only where the minig is by both a pashut and a makusher. You gave the express instruction to write a pashut, and the guy went and wrote a makusher. Because again, a makusher is an added level of chumrah. It's like a more difficult shtar to write. And therefore, if you would have been satisfied even with a basic shtar, certainly you're going to be satisfied with a more complicated shtar. However, what if you did the opposite? What if the minig is to write a pashut and a makusher? You told the guy, write a makusher, and then he wrote a pashut. So says the Ritva, in that case, even the Rashbam would agree, it's not valid, because even though, yes, the minig is to write either one, since you gave the express instructions to write the more involved shtar, the more chumradik, the more machmir shtar, you're not willing to accept for yourself the more makel shtar. So. But in any event, that the key in this Gemara is that we see that if the minig is to do both, and you told the guy, do one, so Rabban Shimon Gamliel says, everything is like the minig ha-medina in that we view your express instruction only as a recommendation, only as guidance, but not as a kpeda, not as a definitive instruction. So says the Gemara, so Amar Abaya, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, v'Rabban Shimon, v'Rabbi Elazar, kulu sfirilu mara makom hulo. Everybody holds that in this type of case where you give sort of vague instructions, or where you give instructions rather, but the minig is to do more than one thing, you're only giving guidance, but you're not being makbid. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel hadi amran. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, where he says mara makom is what we just saw, because he's not makbid, and he's willing to accept any of the types of gittin that are ordinarily written in this particular locale. Rabbi Shimon, where we say Rabbi Shimon, because it says the Tanan, Rabbi Shimon Omer im hita l'shvach harezu mekudeshes. Rabbi Shimon says that if somebody, if a guy wants to be mekadesh a woman, and the guy says be mekadesh me with this dinar of kesef, and it turns out that it's actually a dinar of zav, and gold is obviously worth more than silver, then the woman accepts the kedushin. Why? Because if she was willing to accept the kedushin with kesef, certainly she's willing to accept the kedushin with zav, because Rabbi Shimon holds that mare makom hu lo, that it's a mare makom, it's only instructive or illustrative, but it's not a kpeda on kesef necessarily. The Rashbam explains that this hita l'shvach only goes on the kesef kedushin. It only means that if you promise that you're going to betroth someone with kesef, and instead you give her zav, then that's going to be kosher. But he says that this does not apply to shevach yuchsin. For example, if you say to a woman, be mekudeshes to me on the condition or on the assumption, on reliance of the fact that I'm a Levi, and it turns out that he's a Kohen, so even though that's an elevated status of yichus, she's not necessarily up for that, because marrying a kohen comes with other issues, and maybe she feels that she doesn't want to be outclassed by her husband, and therefore by shvach yuchsin, it's not necessarily the case that it's only a mara makom, but by something objective, like the kesef kedushin, where objectively a dinar of zav is worth more than a dinar of kesef, we assume that if she was willing to accept the dinar kesef, she's certainly willing to accept the dinar zav. And Rebbe Lazar, d'tnana isha shamras kabali giti mimokam ploni, if a woman gives a shliach l'kabbalah instructions to accept the get in a certain place, v'kibbalah mimokam achar, and he accepts the get in a different place, puzzle. The Tanakhama says it's a get puzzle. Why would it be puzzle? So the Rashbam explains, and we saw this in Mesechus Gittin, that she is agreeing to be embarrassed by receiving the get only in a specific location, but not necessarily in another location. However, Rebbe Lezer Machshir, Rebbe Lezer holds that the get is kosher. Why? Because marks of Arkpeda, one, Vandi Amar, the Tanakhama holds that she's makbid, that she received the get, that the shliach received the get only in the designated location, and Mar Savar Mare Makom Hu Lo, and the other Mandi Amar holds that Mare Makom Hu Lo, that she is simply giving him instruction, she's giving him guidance, but she's willing to accept the get even in a different place. So we see that both Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar all hold that Mare Makom Hu Lo, and connecting back to our Mishnah, Mare Makom Hu Lo was what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel meant by Minig HaMedina, that if the Minig is to write two types of shtaros, and you told him to write one type, you were only giving guidance and an illustration, you weren't necessarily being makbid. Okay, so says the Gemara now, Viter. Moving to the next and last topic of today's daf. So pashut shekasa bo eid echad. So you have a get pashut one eid is written on it. It's going to be pasul. So says the Gemara. Bishlam amakusha shekasa bo shnei eidim pasul itzrich. I understand you need to tell me the halacha that a get makusha where only two eidim are written in it. It's pasul. That's a chiddush. Salkadai techamina hol ba'alma kasher achanami kasher kamash blanda pasul. Because even though the minig is to write a get makusha with three eidim, since all over the place, generally speaking, in halacha, two eidim is kasher, and if here you have two eidim, I might think that this get makusha is kasher even with two eidim. Ella pashut shekasa bo eid echad. However, a get pashut in which only one eid signs, pshita, isn't a pashut that it's going to be pasul. So Amar Abaya, so says Abaya, onitzrucha dafilu eid echad b'chsav ve eid echad al peh. Nah, the chiddush is that if one eid is in the shtar and the other eid is testifying b'al peh, it's going to be pasul. What does it mean that it's going to be pasul? So if you look in the Rashbam, so the Rashbam says, Amar Abaya lo nitzrucha lemisni eid echad b'pasha pasul elahecha de kamasayeya le eid echad b'al peh. In other words, if when we say eid echad, we literally mean that the only aid that's testifying is one aid in the shtar, and says the Gemara, you're right. In a chanami, that's not a chiddush. Of course it's pasul, because we need two aidim. What's the chiddush where we say that aid echad is pasul? It's where you have one aid in the shtar, ve'osam asnitzin lashm inon, t'losam chinan ashtara litrof melekuchos. It's only where you have one aid in the shtar, and an other aid bal peh who's coming to support the aidus in the shtar, where the chiddush is that we do not rely on the shtar to be toref melekuchos. The shnei aidim aksuvim b'shtaru demafkele kala. Why? Because only when two aidim sign in the shtar does the shtar have the kol necessary to put lekuchos on notice that what they purchase from the mocher might be subject to repossession if a creditor of the mocher comes and can't collect from the karka that the mocher has. Ve'ena elok milve al peh. However, this milve, where there's only one aid in the shtar and one supporting aid coming bal peh, it's considered to be a milve al peh v'tarfa mibnei chori, but you can be tore from bnei chorin kedina milve aschavera be'edim below shtar. V'gam alove yachalom or parati, and also the love where there's only one aid in the shtar and one aid bal peh can say parati, I paid it back. V'liyachalom alve liton the love ha'ilachalik roa shtar, and the malve can't say to the love, really, if I paid you back, If you pay me back, then you should have ripped up the shtar. Because the shtar was not made ketikun chachamim. The shtar was not made ketikun chachamim because it had only one eidah, not two eidim. And therefore, the lova said, the reason that I wasn't concerned and the reason that I didn't ask you for the shtar back in order to rip it up when I paid you back is because this shtar was not written ketikun chachamim. Therefore, I wasn't playing by the rules as well. But what we see over here, the chiddush in the Gemara is that, and the chiddush, the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara is that if eid echad, if you have one eid in the shtar and one eid baal peh, when we say pasul, it doesn't really mean pasul. It's a valid debt, and you're able to use this eidus to collect from nechasim b'nei chorin. When we say pasul, it means that it's not considered to be a kosher shtar, and that I can't use the shtar to collect even from nechasim mishubadim. I can't be toreif melekuchos. So says the Gemara, four lines up from the end, Amemar Achsher Be'ed Echad, that the Amemar was Achsher, Amemar was Machsher by one aid, Be'ed Echad B'Ksav, Be'ed Echad Alpeh, that he was Machsher by Eid Echad B'Ksav and Eid Echad Alpeh. And what does it mean that he was Machsher? So says the Rashbam, V'Kosav Yadom Mekuyim Imakam Acher, and the Eid B'Shtar had his Ksav Yad Mekuyim from another place, Be'edim, Ve'ed Echad Nami Balpeh, Masad Aloso Milveh. And that eid baal peh also comes to be made on that milveh. V'nirah be'enai de legamrei machsher, that Amemar was machsher this setup legamrei, afilu litrof milekuchos ki'ilu nichtemu shtei eidim. That when Amemar was machsher, he was machsher even to collect from lekuchos as if there were two eidim in the shtar. De'ed echad b'shtar ve'ed echad baal peh, mafkilei lekala. Why? Because Amemar holds, what's the whole reason that we said in the previous Rashbam that you're not allowed to collect from lekuchos if there's only one eid on the shtar? Because the whole reason that you're allowed to collect from lekuchos is because the lekuchos are on notice of the obligation because of the shtar. The prior Rashbam had said that they're only on notice of the obligation when there are two eidim. Amemar holds, no. If there's one eid b'shtar, one eid baal peh, there's also kol, and therefore the lekucha should have been on notice. V'nirin advarim kein d'stam machsher l'gamri machsher. And the Rashbam says, this is the poshut way to explain Amemar Shita, because when you say kosher, what do you mean when you say kosher? You mean l'gamri. It's kosher l'gamri. So we have a machlokes of the first view in the Gemara and Amemar, where Amemar says that if you have one eid b'shtar, one eid al peh, who's coming to be mitzareif, it's kosher legamre. Tanakama says one eid b'shtar, one eid al peh, you can collect from nechasim b'nei chorin, but it's posel to enable you to collect from nechasim mishubadim. You cannot collect from nechasim mishubadim. Amar le Rav Ashi la Amemar, says Rav Ashi la Amemar, v'da baya mai. But what do you hold from what Abaya says? That it's possible. So Amar Leh lo shmiali klomar lo svirali. That he says, okay, well, I don't hold from the shita of Abaya, and therefore I'm not worried about it. Ella kasha masnisin. But then our Mishnah is akasha, because our Mishnah had said that eid echad is possible. And we ask, what's the chiddush that eid echad in a shtar pashut is pasul? Of course it's pasul. And we said, no, we're talking about where there's one eid baal peh and one eid b'shtar, and the chiddush is, pasul means that I can't collect from lekuchos, but according to you, Amemar, you can collect from lekuchos. So if the case of the Mishnah is one eid is b'shtar and one eid is baal peh, then what do you mean pasul? Because according to you, you could collect from lekuchos. And if you want to tell me that the case in the Mishnah is the pashut case, where there's only one aid, well then what's the chiddush? Of course, if there's only one aid in the shtar, and there's no other second aid baal peh is coming to be misayeya to that aidus in the shtar, of course it's going to be pasul, because there's only one aid, and the Torah tells me I need two aidim. Says the Gemara, Hakamash Malan, Dishnayim b'mekushar k'eid echa b'pashut. You're right. There is no chiddush that eid echa b'pashut is pasul. The chiddush is that having two eidim in a get mekushar is as effective or as ineffective, as it were, as having only one eid in a shtar pashut. Ma hasam psula daraisa, avachanami psula daraisa. Just like by a shtar pashut with one aid, it's pasul midaraisa, it's worthless. So too, a shtar mekushar with only two eidim, where again, the minig was to use three eidim, where there's only two eidim in a shtar mekushar, also it's pasul midaraisa. Tosva says, not so fast, not really midaraisa, because the whole takana that we saw of a shtar mekushar is itself a takana midarabanan. So how can you tell me if the whole takana is a takana madrabanan, that if I have fewer edim than the minug by a shtar mekusher, then that's a psul daraisa. The whole institution of shtar mekusher is only midrabanan. Tosfos says, right, but if it's a get mekusher and it's supposed to have three edim and it has only two edim, then it's not a valid get. And if you get married, if you get remarried after receiving this get, then you weren't really divorced and you're running into a mamzeris problem. So what pasul midaraisa means that you are risking sticky situations midaraisa if you rely on the shtar, because this shtar is invalid. Says the Gemara, Teda, three lines down, Tesholchem itam chavraya l'Rav Yirmiya, the chaverim, the chevron, the Beis Medrash sent to Rav Yirmiya. So Rav Yirmiya, we saw all the way back in the beginning of the Masechta on Chav Gimel. So like 4 months ago already, we saw that Rav Yirmiya had asked a question about what happens if a person has 1 foot inside the tchum and 1 foot outside the tchum, and the chachamim thought that he was being very chutzpahdik and asking this question, because they thought he was mocking him. He thought he was mocking them, so they threw him out of the Beis Medrash. So, in any event, Rav Yirmiya at that point was outside of the Beis Medrash, and that's the way the Mefarshim explained that Amid Sholchu Mitam. Usually, Sholchu Mitam is they sent Akasha from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Over here, it doesn't mean that they went from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. What it means is that they were all in the Beis Medrash. Rav Yirmiya was outside the Beis Medrash because they threw him out. So they sent him Akasha to Rav Yirmiya, but nevertheless, he was still a great Chacham, and therefore they sent him Akasha. So they sent him like this. Eid Echad Bechsav, Veid Echad Alpeh. If you have one Eid Bechsav and one Eid Balpeh, Ma'u Sheyitztarfu. Can they be Mitztarev? Saliba the Tanakama de Rav Yishua ben Karcha Lo Tiboy Lecha. According to the Tanakama of Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, there is no question. What's the Tanakama of Rabbi Shua ben Karcha? So if you look in the Rashbam explains, B'puklayu b'sanhedrim b'perek zeborer, t'tanya ein edusim mitzarefes b'basin ad sheyiru shneim ke'echad, that edus cannot be mitzaref and basin, says the Tanakama, until they see the milveh happening at the same time. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha Amar Afilu Bezeh Charzeh Ein Edusa Miskayemes Ad Sheyidu Shneim Keachad. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha says that they don't need to see the event happen together, they just need to be meyed on the event together. And therefore, if one person is meyed that Reuven borrowed money from Shimon on Sunday, and the other person is meyed that Reuven borrowed from Shimon on Monday, so they're not being meyed on the same Maisa, but they both agree that Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, and then they come to Basin together, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha is going to say that that's a valid Eidus. The Tanakama holds that you have to actually see the same thing. And then Rav Nosson comes and argues a third sheet, Rav Nosson Omar, Shomen Dvarav Shalzei Ayom, Uchsheva Chaver Lamachar, Shomen Dvarav, that you don't even have to testify together. So, but Aliba the Tanakama, the Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, back in the Gemara, according to the Tanakama of Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, lo tiboy lecha, then I don't have a question. Dafilu shnayim bechsav, vishnayim alpeh lo mitztarfi, because the Tanakama requires that you actually be seeing the same thing and testifying together. Therefore, even if you have two bechsav and two balpeh, they're not mitztarev. Ela ki tiboy lecha aliba the Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, shnayim bechsav, vishnayim alpeh hu de mitztarfi. Aval eid echad bechsav veid echad alpeh lo mitztarfinan odil malashna. The kasha is according to Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, who said that if I see the loan take place on Monday and I testify to that, and you see the loan take place on Tuesday or Sunday, Monday, whatever days we were using before, then we could be mitztarev. Is that only when we're both bechsav or both balpeh, or is that even when one of them is bechsav and the other is balpeh? So shalach lehu ani eni kedai sheshilach them. Lisa says Rav Yirmiya, it's not kedai that it's not kedai that that I'm not kedai to have this kasha sent to me. Ella kach das talmid chemnote. But your talmid, i.e., talking about himself in third person. But your talmid thinks sheit starfu. I think it's logical to assume that they are mitztarev. Tosfos over here is bothered that Rabbi Yishua ben Karcha's case is talking about two halvos, right? Where we said that One A testifies that Reuven borrowed money from Shimon on Sunday. The other A testifies that Reuven borrowed $100 from Shimon on Monday. They come into base and they testify together. Reb Shur McCurkle says that's okay because at the end of the day, they're both being made that Reuven borrowed $100 from Shimon. Our case where you have the aid Bechsav and the aid Alpeh, they're testifying on the same thing. They're not testifying on different things. So it's not a valid comparison. Tosfos says no, they are testifying on different things. Why? Because when a person is meyid on a halva, the person's not actually being meyid on the giving of the money from the lender to the borrower. Rather, they're testifying on the giving of the shtar from the Lova to the Malva. They're testifying, this Lova had a shtar halva drawn up. In a couple of days, we'll see whose responsibility is to write a shtar halva. They testify that we saw the Lova have the shtar drawn up, and then the Lova gave the shtar to the Malva. So it turns out that if you have one A testifying on the shtar and one A testifying Balpeh, it is Eidus on two different things, says Tosfos. Because one aid is testifying on the Etzem Halva, the other aid is testifying, we saw that they gave this shtar to the Malveh, so they're testifying on two different things. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, Samar Lei, Anan Hachi Mastina Lei. Here's how we learned this whole episode. Deshalchu lechavraya leRav Yirmiya. The people in the Beis Medrash sent a kasha to Rav Yirmiya. Shnayim sheidu echad bebeis din zeh v'echad bebeis din echad bebeis din zeh. What happens? You have two people who give testimony in Beis Din, but they're in different batei din. Ma'u sheyavo Beis Din etzal Beis Din v'yitzarfu. Can the batei din travel to one another and thus be mitzarif the edus that was given separately in these two batei din? Says the Gemara Liba Tanakama de Rabbi Nosson lo. According to the Tanakhama of Rav Nosson, which also we saw in the Rashbam earlier, there is no kasha. Dafilu b'chad beidina nami lo mitzarfi, because the Tanakhama Rav Nosson holds that you have to give the edus together in the same beis din. So certainly, if you gave the edus in different batei din, you're never going to be able to be mitzarif that edus. Ela ki tiboy lecha liba de Rav Nosson. But the kasha is according to Ravi Nosson. B'chad beidina hu demitzarfi, avo betrei beidina lo mitzarfi. Odilma lo shna. Rav Nosson had said that one guy could come and be meyid today, one guy could come and be meyid tomorrow, and the edus is going to be mitzarif. So the kasha is, does Rav Nosson hold that one guy could come today and one guy could come tomorrow only in one basin? Or does he say, even in two batei din, we could also be mitzarif the edus? V'sholach lu ani eini kedai she'atem shalachtem li. I'm not kedai that you ask me this question. Elakach dal talmidchem note she'yitztarfu. It's mitzaber that they are mitzarif. So Mar Barchia Mar Hachi Sholchulei Shnayim Sheidu Bebeisin Zeh. Two people were made in one basin. V'chazru Beidu Bebeisin Zeh. Then those two people went and were made in another basin. Ma'ashi Sheyavo Echad Mikol Basin V'Yitztarfu. Can one person from each basin come and then be mitztaref what they heard? So Aliba the Rav Nosson Lo Tiboy Lecha Hashta Edim Mitzarfina Dayanim Iboy. If Edim can be mitzaref, which is what Rav Nosson holds, then certainly Dayanim can be mitzaref. Ela Ketiboy Lecha Aliba the Tanakama the Rav Nosson Edim Udilo Mitzarfina and Aval Dayanim Mitzarfina and Odil Maloshna. Is it only Edim who are not mitzaref, but Dayanim can be mitzaref, or does it not make a difference? And none of them can be mitzaref. Shalach Lehu Ani Eni Kedai Shatem Shilachtem Li Ela Kach Das Lamitchem Note Sheyitztarfu. He said it mitzaref that they are mitzarev. Ravino Amar Hachi Shalchulei. Shlosha Sheyosfu L'kayim Es Ashtar. Three people who sat down as a basin to be Mekayim Ashtar. Umeis Echon Me'em. And then one of them dies. Tzrichi L'michta B'mosav Tlas Avinon V'chad L'sui Olo. Do they have to write that we sat down initially as a basin of three and then one of us died and that's why there were only two signatures? Or do they not have to get into all that procedural stuff? Sholchalu ani eni kedai she'atem shilachtem li elakach das amitchem note she'tzricham u'michta b'mosav talsa avina v'chad lisui. That you have to write that we sat down initially as a group of three and now one of us is no longer here. Why? Because if you would not write that, it would appear that this kiyam ashtar is a falsehood. Because it says in the beginning, three people sit down, but then at the end you look and there were only two signatures, and you wonder if there were three people, why did only two sign? That's why you have to explain. Three people sat down to be Mekayim the Shtar, one of them died, that's why we have only two. V'aldo aylu l'Rav Yirmiyah l'beit medrasha. And because of this episode, they allowed Rav Yirmiyah to come back into the Beit Medrash again. And the Mefarshim explain, the Rashbam explains, it's because of the very deferential manner in which Rav Yirmiyah answered all these questions. He said, I'm not kedai that you ask me these questions, but this is what your Talmud thinks. They kicked him out because they thought he was being disrespectful with his question. They let him back in because he was being very respectful. In addition to having the knowledge, he was being very respectful with his answer. So we'll pick up, God willing, with the next Mishnah tomorrow.